been one page or whatever before.
Yeah, if I get an old meatloaf or one, you know, take a half or something out there.
Just cut it off.
I thought it'd be fun.
You been catching that big a fish, Mike?
Oh, you know, I had pretty good luck last year, man. Yes, it's Larry.
Oh, good, that's a good thing.
All right, Richard, you can start whenever you would like.
Okay, we will call a meeting to order from the Port of Brookings Harbor. Ladies, let's begin the meeting.
Yes, hello.
We're calling a meeting in order. So this is the regular meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission, Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. We'll begin the meeting with Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Danielle.
Larry?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Richard?
Here. All right, are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
I have one. So I would move that we take informational item E, which is Commissioner and Staff Relations, and move that to an action item. Would become action item O. Second that?
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to move an agenda item, information item E, to an action item O. Questions?
No.
Okay. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay. Okay, are there any other modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
Okay. Anybody declare any potential conflicts of interest?
No.
Okay, hearing done, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing done, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard.
Yeah. That brings us to item number three, the approval of the meeting minutes. This would be the approval of meetings of the regular commission meeting on Wednesday, March 16th, and the workshop on Tuesday, March 24th.
I make a motion to approve the meeting that Richard just mentioned.
Second.
I was going to go the other way. Sorry, guys.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to public comment. I have none submitted. Are there any online that you know of, Danielle?
I have not received any.
Okay. That brings us into item number five, the management report. We begin with March 2022 safety and security report.
So, port maintenance staff for safety this month, we discussed workplace eye wellness and how to properly protect your eyes. For incidences, someone ran into the RV park gate before the RV park was open. Maintenance was able to bend the gate back into place. Three people were trespassed from port property due to multiple parking violations and trespassing. trespassing onto a vehicle or a vessel. An individual was making a mess on the sidewalk. Court staff told the individual to clean up their mess. The individual charged the court employee and hid on a vessel. The Curry County Sheriffs were called, and they were able to apprehend the individual. He was trespassed and removed. Four ACES Security Solutions and the court came across 100 security issues for the month of March. Court staff received a call regarding an oil sheen in the water. We were able to locate the vessel that the oil sheen came from, and all correct national response centers were contacted regarding it. The oily sheen was cleaned up. And we did come across a large oil puddle in the gravel parking lot next to the maintenance shop. We cleaned that up. We believe it came from a semi-truck that was parked there. And monthly inspections were completed for our stormwater pollution control plan. And our first of four tests were completed for this year. Any questions?
I have one. So on this incident that involved the person that was removed by the Sheriff's Department, were there charges filed with
yes.
relation to the assault on the employee?
Yes.
Okay, so that person has been charged and arrested?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any further questions?
Yes. The two people that were caught off security cameras, were they trespassing in Basin 1 or Basin 2?
In 1.
In 1, thank you.
Okay. Brings us to the financial report. Pretty straightforward, I think. I was a little surprised at the total expenses were 30.6% below budget expectations. But I still noticed that there's a lot more boat launches this month. That's not right. So any questions on the financial report?
We're doing well.
Okay. Well, I think most important, it looks like, other than that, we're pretty much on projections for anticipated revenue and expenses based on the budget in the house. So that's good. Harbor Master report.
Okay.
Harbor Master report.
In the RV park, routine checks were done daily. Gelman Electric was out, replaced site 92, the pedestal that it was hit by an RV. We did do multiple repairs on the 30-amp receptacles, continue to go out. A lot of them are in the front row that we'll be replacing soon. We are also researching a better system for our Wi-Fi that with as we look to expand the RV park, and the more RVs that come are streaming a lot more internet, and during our high occupancy times we run into internet issues. So we're going to be looking at that to upgrade that system in the RV park. We were down 10% from last year. The future forecast you can see there to the right, they are starting to fill up with June and July. Starting to increase the occupancy on that. In the marina, OSMB came and did an inspection of all the port sand sailors. There is no reports of any repairs needed. All functions were working properly. The port also purchased some dancing aloha deals. Sky dancers, thank you, to help detour some of the sea lines. We did relocate two boats that were having issues getting to their boat and or had the sea lines on their boat. So we moved them. Now that the sea lines have moved on, we're going to start moving them back to to their slips that they were in. And then the staff also replaced rub boards, tightened the docks, and replaced the covers on the pedestals, all due to sea line damage on the front on J Dock. Boat launches, we were up 18 from last year. We're up a total of 306 boat launches in the first 3 months. Telehandler jobs, we did 5. And haul-outs in the boatyard, we did 6. Commercial receiving docks, all the quarterly dock inspections were completed. Hallmark still has ongoing support pile issues. We will continue to work with Jack on survey points to monitor any more deteriorating pilings. Pacific Seafood also has some fender pilings on the old dock that were coming loose, and we've put new cables around them and reattached them to the docks. Slugs and stones, we did asphalt work around parts of their building where water was still continuing to go into their building from the parking lot fixed where Zola's used to be. There was a small amount of water that was getting underneath their building, so we built up those areas so it kept the water out from underneath. Maintenance crew completed 110 work orders throughout the port. We have relocated all the boats out of the boat storage by the motorcycle shop area by the Basin 2. Tidewater will be coming in and regrading and rocking that entire area. And then all the boats that are in the green building area now will be relocated over there. And then the green building area will both start working on to get ready for the future crab pot storage by our FEMA project happening. Any questions?
No.
Commercial receiving dock, sounds like there's a lot of work done. They're all serviceable and okay and clear.
They're all working and everything's in operational order.
I would point out, I happened to run across some National Nutrition Service people last week and asked them about sea lions and what recourse anybody might have, like support for damages occurred, and there are none. So basically, if there are sea lions here and they do damage, we're going to have to eat it. And that includes boat owners as well. I'm appreciative of the fact that you guys took after that and got on them, because that's probably one of the more dangerous animals around. You know, I can tell you from talking to a fellow that was bit by a harbor seal that that's a much more dangerous prospect than a rattlesnake bite or something like that. He spent a month and a half in the hospital on continuous drip IVs trying to fight the two bacterial infections that he got from that bite. And I asked him about that. He said, hey, that's not uncommon. That's usually what happens when people or dogs get bit by a sea lion. They'll infect. So, you know, great concern to me that the public stays away from them. And for the most part, they did, although I did see a couple of tourists down there trying to touch them, but that's, you know, not much to do about that, I guess.
Travis,
yeah.
The sea lions, like on the, there's a dock that is, they knocked off the white rub boards out. Do you want us to refix that ourselves, or?
I sent the guys down. It should be all fixed by now. I had them go reattach all the pieces. Some of them are gone. They might be sitting at the bottom that they ripped off. But any ones that were hanging or unsecured, if there's another one, let me know. But I sent them down yesterday.
I'll let you know. Thank you.
Reattach.
I just
all those.
Didn't know if you wanted us to take care of it ourselves.
No, it should all be done.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, move on to the port manager report. Gary's not here, so I guess you can read it and make comment if you choose. A couple of things to note on here is that we have been in contact with Corps of Engineers about the crab dock out on the jetty and whether or not we have authorization to put a port facility on the jetty. And that answer is we're going to have to submit some forms to be able to do that, because we need to have approval from them to attach anything to their property, and that is clearly the property of the Corps of Engineers, Beth Denny. So if we get their permission to attach, are we going to leave it? Well, we need to first see if we can get their attention to attach, and then we can discuss that next. That's where we go from there.
And the way I understand it, either way, we're doing paperwork. Even if it does get removed, there's still paperwork that's going to have to be done with them to remove.
Yes.
So it'll come down to a decision that'll have to be made, and either way, we'll have stuff, paperwork to do.
Okay. The government, so it looks like we need to either fill out Form SF-299 or Form 408, depending which way we're going to go with that. So. Question.
Above that, the Pacific Seafood, regarding their temporary 900J permit, it said it had not been extended. They had not extended their temporary permit. And they weren't functioning? I'm not sure I understand. Do you know?
The way I read that is that they do not have a permit, they don't operate.
Right. Their permit was just extended.
Not true, Brad, you got any extension?
Yeah. Okay. Do we know how long that extension is for?
We're going to say it's 2 years, but we could have our other permit in place by then.
2 years from this month, last month?
13th of April.
Okay. So you guys are up and running and functioning?
Correct.
Legally?
Correct.
Legally, temporarily. Okay, any other questions about or comments about the Port Manager's report?
We're going to have a lot of visitors.
Sorry, try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. I'm going to remember this time, Joe. And we need approval of the management report.
I make a motion to approve management report, safety and security report, financial report, harbor master report, port manager report of March 2022.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the management report. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action items. Action item A, South Mountain Railroad proposal. So at our workshop, we heard a presentation from Tony Parrish about the railroad and what he'd like to do as far as building a permanent site here for the railroad. There were some items discussed about location of the railroad. In your packet, you'll see the kind of a schematic of what it's going to look like, and then some proposed locations for the place. So the decision for us here today is to approve the proposal and designate the location, or to deny the proposal. So open it up for discussion. I have two concerns. One is the train. I asked him. I asked for a ballpark figure, and he said the train would run approximately 20 days a year. My concern is we're going to take one of the very few pieces of green grass that we have that I see people sit on with their dogs, their kids, they eat lunch, they drink coffee, and we're going to turn it into a train track that runs for 20 days out of 365. My concern, I'll be voting against it. Okay. Just in general, I guess. Because of those reasons.
So I have a question then for Larry.
Okay.
Are you just complain or critical of the site being right here in front of Bells and Whistles or all the sites?
That one specifically. I mean, I just think that's a prime location. It's used a lot. It's right in the middle of everything. I mean, people always say they sit there and drink beer, they drink coffee, their dogs are there, their kids are there. And the train's only run 20 days a year, and the rest of the time it's just sit there taken. Unusable.
With no train.
With no train.
Well, Tony's here.
Oh, sorry.
Can I see some?
Sure, why don't you come up to the podium so we can...
Well, the 20 times, that was just a guess off the top of my head. I mean, I could see us running a lot more often than that.
And one of the things we've changed is we won't need any electricity. We've got these new inverters, just like your corded drill, you can plug into and run it that way. So we wouldn't need anything like that. It's hard to predict how many times, you know, you would run it. I mean, obviously, you won't do it many times in November, December, January, February. You know, just cut out the new weather days. We can't run in the rain. We can't run in high winds. You know, during the initial construction, once we get the first loop done, we'll be turning it on and running it as we're creating the garden. So anytime anybody's here doing maintenance on it, we'll be running trains. So it would be more times than you would think, I would hope. You know, the difference between the different sites, this would be so much better because one thing, all the infrastructure is already in, the sidewalk and everything. If we were to construct something out there, where the green grass is out there, you got to start from scratch. I mean, a lot more expensive building infrastructure, which we wouldn't be able to do. I don't know how frequently the lawn is used out here. I just haven't anything to go by. But the times I've been down there for festivals and stuff, it's like everybody walks around the green thing. Nobody's sitting on the green grass. But, you know, that's just, I don't know how else to tell you. We'll run as often as we can. I mean, if more volunteers we get, we want to run it, we'll run it more often. I can see every time you have an event out here, we'll be running. No doubt about that. You know, the art festival, we started they gave us a grant when we first started back in 2007 for the art festival that was down here. And it's moved around, and if we were to have this done, we would target to finish this before the art festival to be part of that again. So, you know, I'd say we run it as often as we can, not just 20, you know, as often as we can.
So you're going to have two places. You have the Stout Mountain, and then you'll have this.
Right.
So you're going to be running both.
Yeah, we'll still maintain the garden up in the park because it's just a nice garden. There's nothing wrong with it. Everything's working fine on it. In fact, we just electrified it with that new inverter. Found out we did a better job of connecting our track than we thought. It runs great with electricity. So, yeah, for filming, we do a lot of videos. The filming is really good up there. More difficult down here because of the people and stuff around. But we definitely worked around with camera and booking. I would say we'd run it a lot more often than 20 times before.
Okay.
Especially anytime you had an event, we'd say, sure.
Thank you.
So, Richard, you know, my concern is, I mean, it's pretty really nice to be able to give them a piece of ground and do something like that, but how many other organizations are we going to have to give a piece of ground to come down and do their thing, too? I mean, are we setting a precedent for this or what?
Well, we're responding to a request. I guess this is a request-driven process. Let's see what we're going to get. I can't anticipate what we may come in the future, if we see in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I've been here, this is the first request of this type that I've seen.
Me too.
Any other concerns or comments? I have concerns about this grass right here.
Oh, yeah.
But we have been trying to attract people to the other end. You know, we have the Indian Memorial down there, and we have different things, and we've been trying to say, well, you know, we ought to get people to go visit that end, too. So I see some attraction for going down there with something like this. It's unique. It's not something you see in many places, and I think it would be a benefit to the port to have it down there as a place to take people and move them a little bit toward the Indian Memorial and other features we have here. As far as infrastructure goes, you know, I don't think our expectations would be any more than Stout Mountain building what they need to build. If there are other things required, then I suppose we put that in our plan as future items for us, depending on what kind of use it gets and what the issues may be. If there's, you know, I think what we would have to do is see it being used and then see what that means to us. call.
I think he was first.
Okay, we're going to...
Just kind of a question about, it was mentioned that it's not going to be running very much, so if there's just track out there, idle, can people still do the dogs and beer and things that they're used to doing?
Well...
You know, it's kind of like we could say, okay, because it's not running very much, that's a reason to allow it.
Yeah, it's been a garden, and it'd be like a work of art, you wouldn't want to pull it, it'll come in and stomp all over it.
It's not just a track with the...
No, it's an alpine looking garden.
Okay.
So track that's nice when we're not running it.
I can tell you, I get pretty tired watching our staff maintain dump parks. We got a lot of dump parks in this park. That's what they're used for, that's what people's expectations are, and that's not what our intentions are. Outside the kite field and this place we're talking about right now, the place where it's mostly dogs is what I see. That's the main, hey, one more comment.
Yeah, with all that, what's the force responsibility in all this? So to that, as you maintain the dog parks, and what's the force doing all that? So it all goes in. I mean, it's like his responsibility, or is it like the force responsibility?
That will be very clear in agreement that the port has no responsibility for them other than the location.
But right now, you have the expense of taking care of the lawn.
We mow the lawn.
Anytime
we do something like this, we have an use agreement that gets signed so that it's clear whose responsibilities are which. And we wouldn't assume any responsibility for them other than I guess, general security that would provide for every place, everywhere else here.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd be more secure at this location than we would not the other location. That's
right.
Sure.
Right. Well, we've spent a fair amount of money on security cameras, which are more after the fact, but we certainly have them. Pretty good coverage now of the port. So.
And didn't Mr. Memorial, they
just did this in the office? Well, it has, but don't. I mean, I know my security took something out of there that was spray painting tools and built a fire underneath one of the displays. But anyway, that's, I guess, an unfortunate byproduct of being a property owner. So.
It's part of the plan for that lot down there, it's a business plan, so is it to make money? Is that the idea, that to bring income into the port?
Not
like having like a space for a shop or something.
Which piece of
the where the dog park is now.
That's never been in the business plan. That's the best of my knowledge. That's never been proposed for development. That's always been proposed for just open space, diverse recreation, whatever.
But like I said, it said business plan, strategic business plan. I was wondering how does that affect? If it's a business plan, it should be making money, not giving it to a nonprofit and not spring money in. I'm not talking about using a piece of property that's not going to ever bring you any more money or rent. You can afford it, and you're going to rent that. You know what I'm saying? But it isn't going to cost you anything. Whereas if you had plans to actually put retail space in down there, then you would.
No.
Well, our vendors do rent.
Yes.
Richard,
right.
Okay, go ahead,
Ken. So I would say you would want a vendor down there who's giving you money instead of somebody who's, I can put in a garden for you, great, but I'm not going to bring in anything.
Tony, how much money does it cost you to put in a site that you're looking at? Like,
well, I'm looking at under $2,000, you know, but we had to put in sidewalks and paths and fences and retaining wall, you know, berms. The other one over there, you're right up against those concrete blocks and cars. So what do you do in between the cars, you know, people walking through and riding through the yard? You've got to fence that all off, which hides it even more, which makes you security even tougher.
Okay. Any further? All right, we're at the action stage here. We have at least two motions here possible that we have been recommended to us by staff, so I'll let you make a choice.
I'm recommending number two. So I can make the motion if you like.
Go ahead.
See where it goes. Motion to decline the proposal from Tony Kirsch, South Mountain Railroad Club, the Forest Line Railroad, to Swain Court.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to decline the proposal from Tony Parrish and the South Mountain Railroad Club, Fort Line Display of Support. Any further discussion on this one? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Am I saying yes to the no? Or
if you vote yes, that vote yes is to decline.
Yes.
Ken?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
No.
Richard?
No. Okay.
I think it's right.
So I'll make a second motion.
Go ahead.
A motion to approve Tony Parrish and Stout Mountain Railroad Club to put a display on port property other than the bell and whistle. I know that's your first choice, but I definitely also have concerns. So you could work it out with the port manager as to a specific location. If it works for you, fine. If it doesn't,
I'll let you go first.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the Scott Mountain Railroad in a place other than in the courtyard. You're suggesting down?
Yes.
By the Indian Memorial. Okay.
I would second that.
I just wonder, if we're going to make a motion, I think if we're going to go down this road, and if he has another location, how about we bring something back to you guys again, so the area can be agreed upon rather than leaving it blank. Are you prepared to go to the site down there? I just want to make sure it's specific of where this location is, and if we're not specific about it yet, we don't agree on it.
Right.
I just think it should be tabled until we agree on a location that everybody can vote on, versus leaving it open-ended and up to management of where this thing lands.
Well, I think the motion that I heard was that it's not in the courtyard, it's intended to be toward the Indian Memorial in that crafty spot. that correct?
Yes.
And that would still have to be approved, brought back to us.
No, port manager can make that decision.
I don't think so, but if that's something that you're ready to move
well,
on, when you're telling
us. I have designed it on paper on both, but like I said, the drawback is that it's a lot more expensive to put it back there. Where is the line? Do you want it up against the Indian Memorial, or do you want it on the other end? You know, obviously I'm not going to fill the whole space, or I'm going to have people riding on trains.
Well, why don't we take action on this motion, and then we'll let it Tony and the port work it out and bring back the final proposal for us for exactly where it is.
Okay.
Okay? All right. So we have a motion on the table. Call the question. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, that brings us to Wagland's court petitioning signage request. We have two letters from Wagland's court petition to allow for additional signing at the port. So
I want to clarify that real quick. She just revised the signage, and if I can't revise it, then I will have to pay for more signage if I can.
Okay. All right. So, discussion. Well, I will direct your attention to information item A, which you may have looked at. This is so for the benefit of the folks here, we have been talking about this issue for a while now, and how best for the port to address not just
Tidewind to all of, all the turboat and kickback operators in the port. So one of the things we've looked at is, rather than putting up individual signs, putting up a sign center that has all of the businesses located on that sign. The benefit to the port is that we have control over the design, we have control over where it's placed, and we have control over removal of people who are no longer in business, et cetera. I mean, in other words, the port is in charge of what that sign can look like and how it's maintained and those sort of things. From the perspective of the port, at least my perspective on this, that makes a lot more sense than trying to deal with each individual operator that wants to place a sign. I'm concerned that the street front out there is going to end up looking like a barbersaw lab where you've got a, you know, sign every 20 feet. So, so I'll just call your attention to that item. We'll talk about it when we get down there. But there is some proposals in that to review as well.
I want to clarify in your section six, you have no competition clause. I would also want to propose that if there is any absent board member has not Andy Martin's vote, they cannot vote on this because that's extremely conflict of interest. Senior clause, and which will produce your lawyers, of course, but it's on your current lease agreement, and it's on section six. You guys signed a no competition clause for 25 years. So if that is broken, if you promote anything else, that will be, I think, breaking contract. And if there's any acting board member, I want to clearly explain, has asked and vote and has also fished on them, and which I have pictures, you should not go out to vote on this. Extreme competition. Right?
Okay.
Yep.
Well, would that not go the same for if we fished on Tidewaters?
Now, one of you guys have been on one of my boats. I've been here for 27 years.
I've been on your
27
boat.
27 years, you've never fished with me.
I've been on, well, I won't argue with you, but I know I've been on your boat at least three times, maybe not the
Well, then
time.
I would also propose that you
wait a minute. We're not here to have a debate and argument. I'm
a lawyer.
We have before us a action item. We're discussing it now on the board. So
if
what's your desire?
If you were on Tidewind, or if there is any board member who's actually fished on either at my boat or on Andy's, or even anybody else's, ask them if they're
Can we ask our attorney if that's actual factual what
management.
He's saying? Or are the attorneys online, Daniel?
I do not see our attorneys online.
Okay. I guess the answer would be no.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
Kyle, there's enough competition.
For 25 years.
25 years.
This is James Walker. I am on the line.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, James. So, James, are you hearing the discussion here, the whole part of it?
There was a bit of kind of talking at the same time, if you will. So, but I think I've made out the general gist that there's a.
So the general gist is that we're talking about a business here in the port, talking about them putting up a sign or changing a sign that they have, as opposed to the port's notion of having all of the signs located in one place on a port control sign center. And the individual has informed everybody here that if they've ever fished on any of his competitors' boats, that would be a conflict of interest for anybody to vote here, or on his boat. So do you have a thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, as far as kind of participating in fishing activities, be it with Tidewinds or with a competitor, my recommendation would be no. I don't think that creates a conflict of interest. If a commissioner has, for example, like an ownership interest in a competing business, you know, that may be a potential conflict of interest that should be announced, but it doesn't cross the threshold of being an actual conflict of interest where you have to remove yourself from the vote.
Well, I don't have a contract with Ford Bricking.
Okay, so so my understanding of what you just said, to be perfectly clear, is that if an individual took a trip on a charter fishing boat, paid his own way, and whether they're a port commissioner or not, that does not create a conflict of interest or a potential conflict of interest.
That's correct, Commissioner. Yeah.
So would that hold true then that if a board member signs a contract with a business that has a charter fishing boat, and they again went on that charter fishing boat on their own time, paying their way, would that create a conflict of interest for that board member?
No, that would not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so.
What?
We have action here. Let's discuss what we're going to do.
I like the idea of a marquee. I'm going to call the marquee as one. Maybe we would have two big marquees with what has been discussed. Everybody has the same size, no matter what they pay. I don't want people buying a whole sign, but in specific locations so we don't clutter the street. I agree with you.
It's like a
directory. Yeah. Monument, marquee, directory, whatever.
Okay.
That we have control over and support.
You're referring to something like in the information item, page 285.
285, this?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
As far as the whole thing on the charter boat thing as a whole, I can understand Kyle's position on the sign out front here because nobody can see it. My suggestion would be to allow Kyle to turn that sign sideways so everybody could see it. I mean, if I was in his shoes, I would do the same. Even though Kyle is a competitor, I can understand that part. On your marquee out here, I would suggest, because that we put at least something letting you know, hey, charter boat row with an arrow or something of that nature, because what's happening in my business alone last year grew 35%. The average customer that comes in, believe it or not, spends $550 with the increase of inflation now, just for one first. So that brings a lot of income to this port, and it's going to get better. So that would be my suggestion on the marquee, is to make it in a general form to where these people can go to that area.
Well, we haven't even come close to discussing a design for that yet. The concepts that we discussed were having a sign near the road that would have on the back of it, we might have a directory of where the boats are located, because I agree with you. If you roll in here looking for a fishing boat, it'd be nice to know where it was. In addition to other things, along with the name and telephone numbers and that sort of thing, that would be associated with that. So, last shot.
Okay, so we have been through the ringer, you know, in the tsunami. I was here, and we had all our boats on the whole entire outside of the harbor. Do you keep running you guys even on the commission? We have tried our best for the Brookings, and we're always here for the Port Brookings Harbor. In the contract to the state, you'll have proper signage. On the state, absolutely has a huge paradigm that says if you have an opposing sign to traffic, it's actually safer. If it's actually going to be on the road this way, it has to be 70% larger just so you don't have crashes and just so you can find it. And we have bent over backwards on our buildings. I had completely gave them up. I lost my ass here. And I'm still losing my ass. And so all of them asking is for something that's right. Let people find us, because they can't find us. And we've been fighting this for 5 years now, and I've been asking politely. I've asked to pay more. I've asked everything, and we are here still, and I have a long time to go here. So I'm not going anywhere. Asking you guys to do what's right, to promote your main charter company that's been here for 1967.
Okay.
And it's only gotten bigger.
Thank you.
And we have also, I did, yeah.
Richard, on his lease that Kyle was talking about, you know, not having any other businesses, we're discussing signage and not property, because in his lease it is that we would not put any other business in a building as a retail space. So that has
not promote another business.
Yeah. And
I mean, backwards.
So we would, that has nothing to do with it.
Okay. I personally don't see anything wrong with giving some more signage, tweaking some of your signs or whatever, but that's
maybe
me, and it's five of us, so.
Yeah, and the sign that's out front, maybe you need the kind of arrow or something. I mean, it's
we're
safe.
Offering a facelift, like,
states,
and what everybody else do. Well,
it states on the sign that you're in the retail building here.
And we're trying to take some action on this item.
Yeah. Is his sign that's currently out there part of this discussion? I have a picture of it. Is that current?
Yeah.
So I have no problem turning that sign.
So if you look at your motions that he provided for you, number one allows him to take that current sign that that's out there, turn it sideways to the road, and put one on the back side of it so people can see it.
That's right.
Both ways. That's a sign that was agreed upon by a previous board manager. It's been there for a long time. I personally am not a proponent of additional signage in leasing any more ground, but the current sign that he has out there right now, I would recommend allowing him to turn it sideways so the traffic can see it coming both ways. And then continue looking at the charter and dying boat signage concept that we have and finding a location that's good for that when that time comes.
But that's a different issue.
That's a completely different issue that we'll tackle later. But currently with just this issue, my recommendation would be motion there.
So that sign that it's out there that we're discussing right now, is that conforming or non-conforming, grandfathered in? Is it?
It's in the contract.
But it does not conform to existing signs.
If that would be considered grandfathered in, that it said that a previous port manager allowed, and keeping with that decision,
Is there a time frame to run out on that sign, or is it?
In 25 years.
From when?
From our original contract.
Which was when?
And so if the proper signage would be allowed, by title in an intersection section, if you read it, it's still in there and it's attached on your new contract. If they were about proper signage,
I'm not arguing any of that. I just
and there's a no competition clause too.
Okay.
So we just signed that in 2020. So you got to 2025 now, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So I think I've owned it for 10 years now. So you have 15 years left.
I have a question for Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Kyle, you referred to a Section 6.
Yes, it's
a non-competition clause.
The port lease, yes. And so
explain that again. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm hard
so I can still. It's on the most recent lease. We have got the one-term detached thing that's on the back of that lease, and it says for 25 years we have no competition clause for the port can't promote or let.
So you're saying under your section
under
6
the
part of your
contract,
lease.
Not my contract. At the port's contract.
To you.
Well, yes, that was to me. There's a lot of it changed. But on the most recent contract, clearly states.
Are you saying we would be in violation of that contract if we put up these signs like that?
Yes.
So we already have marquee or directional sign up there. If the port chose to reconfigure that sign, how would that possibly violate anything? We have a sign there in place.
That's currently not promoting any other charter business. But I think So you're talking about page six of your lease that's on the back.
We're getting pretty far afield here. So what
it's what are
you doing here?
The
issue here is,
are
we going to allow the sign to be moved? Are we going to allow other spaces, or are we going to deny? That's the three things we have in front of us. This whole discussion about the other stuff is not germane to us. Okay? We're getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit. So let's deal with the three issues that we have in front of us, or the three options we have in front of us. Alternative one is to angle the existing sign as requested. Alternative two is to accept the proposal to add more signs. And option three is to deny the request.
You ready for a motion?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve adding a motion, option one. Motion to approve adding and angling the existing tide wind sport fishing sign on Lower Harbor Road.
Okay, we have a motion. Motion number one.
Is this still open for discussion?
No, I'm looking for a second.
Because Ken didn't read the entire thing as it's written.
Oh, so okay. There's no other signage will be allowed on port property as requested in the letter dated from January 1st, 2022 or March 16th, 2022.
Is everybody clear what the motion is?
I heard the motion. I understand the motion he said, but my question here is no other signage will be allowed. No other charter boat signage will be allowed, or Kyle will not be allowed any?
No other signage as requested by Kyle.
Oh, okay.
The retail complex.
I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. The motion is recommended motion number one. It approves adding and angling the existing Tidewater sport fishing sign on Lower Harbor Road and allows no other signage on port property as requested in the field list. Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Sure. I know.
Okay.
I just want to say yes to half the motion. I'll say no. Joe? No.
Richard?
Yes. Okay. That brings us to the Port Employees Handbook Revision. Are you prepared to talk about that? Sounds pretty straightforward.
Is there any questions about the revisions? The revisions are in your packet. They are, I believe they're all marked in red with, maybe I've got there yet. That was a mortgage agreement. Is there any questions after the last meeting and what we have down here?
I just have one.
Okay.
So on the full time is either 40 or 30, right?
Right.
So that's the only difference to have the benefits for the 30 as well as the 40.
Exactly.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
My question is the thought process behind them dropping full time from 40 to 30 hours a week.
I think it was dictated by the state.
Oh, really?
The
lawyer is on.
Yeah, James.
Yeah, Travis, I'm here.
The requirement now for the state of Oregon is that that you're considered a full-time employee after 30 hours. That's correct, right?
That's right.
Great.
Go ahead.
And so if you're working 30 hours, you're entitled to the full benefit package that previously was just given to the 40 hours.
Okay.
So the port didn't do that, it's a state thing.
Yes.
Okay. I think that, if I remember right, that's kind of nicknamed the bank teller law. But I think that was kind of what that was intended at, because if you recall back during one of the week periods in our recent history, bank tellers were put on a 30-hour week as opposed to 40-hour week, which then removed benefits from them. I don't want to single out bank tellers, but I know that was one of the issues that came up, was that, you know, why are we not getting benefits? So I think that's the reason the state legislature took action on that, to remove that sort of opportunity, I guess you can call it. Okay.
You good?
Richard, the thing with the state, $30, is it wages are involved here if you make a certain amount or not enough? It switches from 30 to 40?
I think it has to do with the number of hours as opposed to the pay scale.
Yeah. Well, it's not trending. People want to keep their employees, so there might be a wage difference for that particular $40 to $30.
Well, really, all we're talking about here is just
updating
the employee handbook so that everybody who works for the port has to read the handbook and sign off they read the handbook, and it lays out all of the common workplace things. I mean, ours was.
President Hughes, if I may,
go ahead, please.
A couple more comments about the handbook.
Go ahead.
Okay, excellent. So happy to, if the commission has additional questions, happy to answer those with my partners in the employment group. But the 30-hour, Travis is correct that the 30 hours is part of the number of edits that were made in response to state law. And then, you know, generally speaking, an hours-based analysis for the accrual of benefits as well has been something that has shown to be recommended practice by our employment group. So you'll also notice, for example, with respect to the accrual of vacation time, I think historically the port may have had it structured where there was vacation accrual based on kind of a certain period of time that passed, and now it's based on hours worked, and that's not necessarily a state law requirement, but something that's coming recommended from our firm. You know, the other, I guess, one other item I would point out that a significant change is just the SEP IRA plans are no longer limited to full-time employees. That applies to all employees. So the simplified employee pension IRAs, to the extent they apply, would not be limited to full-time employees.
Okay, thank you. There you have it.
There we have it. Thank you.
Okay. I make a motion to approve resolution number 2022-03, Port of Brookings Harbor Employee Handbook for 2022.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to item D, which is the first supplemental budget for fiscal year 2021-22. So, everybody clear what this does? Okay, so what this does is this this puts in the actual cost that we've experienced as opposed to the budgeted cost, where we know those. So at the end of the year, our budget must balance, and it has to match. So that's why we do supplemental budgets when we see things that change that didn't match the budgeted amount. And that's the best way I can explain it. So this is nothing unusual. This happens almost every year. Probably will happen every year, I would guess. So, and if you look through, you'll see things that have been moved and changed, the red lines. So this is kind of a pro forma process to make sure that at the end of the year, our budget reconciliation matches what facts we got. Okay?
You know, with the changes too, just note that it was less than 10% of what we actually budgeted. So that's pretty good. That means that our budgets are coming in pretty close to what we're anticipating.
Well, so remember when this budget was put in place, gas cost a little over $3 a gallon. Inflation was not 8.7% or whatever it is now. So budgeting is an art as much as it is a practice. Trying to, because you're anticipating, trying to anticipate what's going to happen down the road, subject to conditions that are far beyond your control. So I think that, I think our track record at the port here since I've been here has been pretty darn good on how well the budget tracks and how close we stay to projections. But then again, you can't hit it every time. I mean, we went through 2 years ago when the RV park closed, that put a huge impact on the budget, and that had nothing to do with us. That was about COVID and all those kind of things. So at any rate, that's what this is about, the supplemental budget. Okay?
Ready for a motion?
Yes, sir.
I make a motion to approve resolution number 2022-2, adopting the first supplemental budget for Port of Brookings Harbor 2021-2022 fiscal year.
Okay, I have a motion for a
second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Clary?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to the South Coast Night Security Consent to Assignment and Assumption of Agreement. This is a an adjustment of the contract we have with Night Security that's now been purchased by Four Aces Security. So all we're doing is assigning the Night Security contract to Four Aces. So basically, it's a language change in the contract.
Yeah. Name.
Okay. Any discussion?
No.
Motion.
I make a motion to approve the draft South Coast Night Security Consent to Assignment and Assumption of Agreement with Four Aces Security Solutions.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to action item F, Business Oregon FEMA Matching Project L22009 contract. Sorry.
Jack is on the line if we have any questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. So what this is we are approving a resolution that will authorize signature with the state of Oregon for the grant amount of $474,732. This is match for a FEMA project of $1,898,920. Okay. So this is basically allowing us to accept that money with the match.
Exactly.
Okay. Provided by Business Oregon as opposed to having us have to come up with it, which is a huge, huge. Okay. Discussion? Okay. Motion?
You're a better reader. Okay. Motion to approve resolution number 2022-04, Oregon Business Development Department Special Public Works Fund Emergency Project Financing Contract Project Number L22009 and authorize Richard Heath, Board President, to sign the contract. Approve Joseph Spears, Vice President, Sharon Hartung, Secretary Treasurer, Larry Jonas, Commissioner, Richard Heath, President, and Kenneth Range Commissioner to sign an authorized signature card for cash payments on Oregon Business Development Department awards.
Anybody like to repeat that?
Well, we got another one.
I know. Second. Okay. Thank you, Karen. So we have a motion and second on L22009. Further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, we'll rinse, wash, and repeat for L22008. This is for the same amount of money, $474,732, for the FEMA cost of $1,898,928. You have to do another question?
Sure. More than happy. Motion to approve resolution number 2022-05, Oregon Business Development Department Special Public Works Fund Emergency Project Financing Contract Project Number L22008 and authorize Richard D. Board President to sign the contract. Approved, Joseph Spears, Vice President, Sharon Hartung, Secretary Treasurer, Larry Jonas, Commissioner, Richard Heath, President, Kenneth Range, Commissioner, to sign the authorized signature card for cash payments on Oregon Business Development Department Award. Thank you.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second on L22008. Further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Here. Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yeah.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
I think that the public and us as well should be so proud that we were able to acquire this money to match our FEMA project.
Well, yeah.
It's quite an award.
And I agree. And this is a pretty good illustration of how well the port manager is paying attention to these sorts of opportunities, and also our engineer was very instrumental in helping this happen.
Exactly.
So the combination of the two, we're now looking at in excess of $3 million worth of projects coming forward. So that's significant, particularly given the state of the economy and the situation in Washington, D.C. as far as trying to shake money loose. It's a pretty big deal. So, okay.
Thank you.
That brings us to
H.
Mortgage license agreement revision. Okay, we discussed this at our last meeting. What this does is require that a person who is coming into the port with a boat that's 30 years or older will have to provide a copy of the marine survey conducted within the past 12 months to the port, stating the condition of the vessel. Okay, we've discussed this. The purpose of this is to try and maintain the integrity of the fleet, to try and protect the port from liability for catastrophic losses of these boats, which we know, based on other ports' histories, can be in excess of $100,000 to raise a sunken commercial vessel and clean up afterwards. Maybe even more than that. I think there's, trying to remember what that
like. They can climb quite a bit, but the most recent one is Coos Bay. It was a 40-foot wood boat that was $60,000.
So what this basically says is we would like some assurance from people who are showing up here with older vessels that their boat is seaworthy.
That's any vessel, not just commercial.
Any vessel, yeah. Okay. All right. Great discussion.
That's still just for new boats into the port, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And boats only wanting semi-annual or annual mortgage. So that mm-hmm. won't apply for monthly
or
transit boats. Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion to approve the draft mortgage license agreement and authorize port manager to implement the revised agreement immediately.
Second.
Second.
Okay. I second it. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay. Same with item I, the non-mortgage charter boat guide boat launch fee. So discussions we've had in the past, now that we have this new charter boat fee and six-pack fee that we're charging, is, does that include an annual launch permit with it as part of the fee? Or are we going to require the launch fees be paid in? Right.
Yep, it's a question that we're getting, is if that $300 for non-mooring boats, if that includes their, like an annual launch pass with it, then we didn't discuss it, so it's just time to make that decision if we want to include it or not. If we do include it, when they come and they pay for their sticker, we'll give them a permit, you know, for an annual launch pass for their window. That's how they would obtain them.
What are other ports doing?
Other ports, they're still making them pay launch fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spoke to a couple of different guys that do operate in other ports, and they not only pay for the sticker fee, but they also are required to pay their launch fees as well.
You know, and an annual launch fee is, I think we're at about $150 a year, so it does, that annual launch fee does have a value to it. If we allow it.
But if they're residents, they do get a discount, right?
With our new up and coming rates, yes.
Right.
Effective July.
That's right.
Well, I'll speak to that. I personally, I would prefer to have it part of, have an annual permit as part of their. So when you pay your annual fee, you get an annual launch. That seems to me to be reasonable. You know, we're trying to provide as much opportunity for the public here as we can. So it is an advantage to have these vessels here to serve the public. We're asking them to pay fees that are above and beyond what they would normally pay for an annual or for a $5 launch fee, because they do use our services. We're also reconstructing the boat cleaning area over there to give them a place to clean their boat or clean their fish as part of it. So that's my feeling about this particular issue.
But Richard, if they're required to do this everywhere else they go, why should it be so different here?
You know, there are times that I get a little concerned about chasing other ports because I don't know the circumstances in other ports. I don't know what sort of discussions they've had about this and what, you know, input they've had from folks. Certainly we can do that. Just my personal feeling that we should include the annual launch permit in there with this, the fee we're starting. And I just want to point out that it's for charters and guides. It's not for private individuals. Charters and guides are a business. They're out there to make money. They make good money. So, just food for thought. And we're doing, like you just said, we're doing stuff for them. We're giving their own cleaning station at a cost to the port that will have to be maintained after it's built. So, ongoing cost to us.
Richard, I have a question. Travis, how many? Do you have any guesstimate on how many of these guides will pay? I mean, if there's hot tuna bite, will they pay mortgage for more than 3, 4, or 5 days?
Typically,
they pull their boats. And
typically, they pull their boats.
Okay.
Does that include the bubble season in October?
We do see our daily mortgage areas, you know, since we have created that, that gets used, but very, very rarely do we issue day or week mortgages. Very rarely.
Okay. All right. Motion. Motion to approve requiring the boat launch fee as well as the annual non-moorage charter and guide fee.
Okay, so you're recommending motion number two?
Yep.
Okay, so we're going, this motion is to require them to pay the annual, the daily launch fee as well as their annual non-moorage fee.
Okay.
Further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
No.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yeah.
Richard?
No. Okay, this next item is the memorandum of understanding between the Port and Curry County Sheriff Office for the substation this year. This is merely a formal recognition of what we have had as kind of a handshake agreement up to this point with the sheriff. So it's in writing now, memorialized, and have been run through their legal staff and our legal staff so that we're all clear as to who's responsible. This mainly was precipitated, as I remember, by a leak that ended up having to get fixed. And the question was, who's paying for that? So this helps to clarify that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Any discussion or question?
Nope.
Okay. Motion.
Motion to approve memorandum of understanding between the Port of Brookings Harbor and the Curry County Sheriff's Office.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yeah. Okay, that brings us to item K, which is the Liverboard policy revision. So these are the revisions that have been, remember the discussion about this was, where do we fall with liveaboards in relation to landlord-tenant agreements? So legal counsel reviewed this and made some suggested changes, which is basically changing the word boat to vessel. And that then exempts us from the landlord-tenant provisions that are in state law. So we're still doing an annual agreement based on a vessel, not a resident.
Yeah, and it's also removing the term dwelling.
So, questions?
Yeah. No, the lawyer said that it was really very well written, except for just removing those two words.
Well, it seems like an insignificant thing, but it's not an insignificant thing, given the complications and problems that can occur with some of these things. So we've got it straightened out, and it's meeting the intent of the liveaboard policy that we have. Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve draft liveaboard policy revisions and authorize the port manager to implement the revisions immediately.
I'll second it. Okay, we have a motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Bring us to item L, CJ Huntsman CPA engagement agreement for fiscal year 2021-22 audit. So the nutshell here is that we are required to provide an audit every year. We have contracted with Huntsman before to do this. So we solicited for CPAs, and this is the preferred person by the port. Based on their experience and long relationship with the port, they've done this for us for years.
Very good.
Okay. I will tell you that based on my experience with this lady, she's pretty thorough.
Yes.
I mean, she saw me on Ask Me Questions.
She did a very good job.
But she does a good job. So. Okay. Discussion? Motion.
Motion
to approve draft CJ Huntsman TPA PC engagement agreement with Pittsfield, year 2021-22, authorized the board manager and board president to sign the agreement.
Second.
And we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to item M, wastewater treatment plant timeline and design processing approval. Okay, so we've been discussing the wastewater treatment plant for some time. The schedule of events, if you will, that has occurred is that several years ago, the idea of wastewater treatment plant was entered into our strategic business plan. And like many things in the business plan, it was subject to future funding. So due to a lot of starters lining up this last year, we were approached, or we actually were asked by Congressman DeFazio if we had projects to fund. And we said, yes, we would like to fund the wastewater treatment plan. So they took that information back to D.C., put it in a package, appropriations package that went through the House and then into the Senate. So in order to get the federal funding that we got, we had to have a number of things lined up. I mean, it had to be a certain administration, had to have approval through Congress, had to have the support of the two Oregon state senators to put it through the Senate, and then it had to be approved and signed by the president. All those things happened. Okay, so that now brings us to basically step two, and that is to look at the design. So we've seen some preliminary stuff from our engineer. He's talked to us about the types of plants that are out there, the types of processes that are out there. He has not settled on one at this moment. He has something that he likes. But really what we're doing here is solving for X. And X is the DEQ permit requirement. That's what we're trying to do here, is to design a plant that will meet those requirements. So now is basically the first step after the funding is getting this wastewater treatment plant accomplished. Okay. The timeline that Gary gave us is that somewhere between April and June, we'll probably do the initial design. In May, we will probably look at the contract with the federal government on the money that's coming to us. And they don't just drop a check in your box for $3.5 million. There's an agreement you have to sign that stipulates a lot of the parts and pieces that we're going to have to abide by. Plus, it talks about the matching that we have to come up with to pay for this. Okay? So that's a pretty major hurdle, but it has to be led by the design, because we have to know exactly what we're designing and what we're going to pay for with the federal money. So it looks to me like we have a whole bunch of steps that are down the road here before this plant ever hits the ground, starting with design, second with whatever the federal government tells us that we have to do in terms of completion. And that, I'm not sure right now what that means, because normally the way these grants or these appropriations are written is we usually are going to have a year from the date of the appropriation to get it finished. So whether that means a year from the time we actually receive the funds, which is what I believe it means, or if it's from the date of the appropriation, then we're really in trouble. Because that sat around in Washington, D.C. for like 6 months before it ever got signed. So we're going to run up against the issue of running out of the federal fiscal year, started in October. So that only leaves us until September if we have to do this within the fiscal year. So that's an unknown at this point. Once that's in place, then the next step is the DEQ permit approval, which has to occur. We once that happens, then we begin the process of actually constructing the plant. So that will require contracting and require bidding, all the things that we normally do. And hopefully the schedule is online to have this wastewater treatment plant done somewhere around July of 2023, July to August of 2023, and have it operational by September of 2023. So that's what's laid out in terms of the schedule and the projection. So at this point, our action is to approve for EMC Engineering to proceed with the design options to meet the DEQ requirement. Okay, so you have a letter here from Jack that explains, you know, his process and his recommendations. Is Jack on the line?
Yes, he is.
Jack, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. If I sound impassioned about it, forgive me, but this is, to me, a once-in-a-lifetime kind of deal. You know, the present Congressman DeFazio is retiring this year. So I would only tell you that I think, based on a discussion I had today, actually, I was given permission to call her because I wanted to try to nail down that timeline you were talking about, at least prospectively. And I ended up not being able to get information from Kathy Erickson, who's the is DeFazio's local rep. But she's referred me to a fellow that in D.C. that has that information. But he can't call me back right now because he's in Portland, and the president is supposed to be arriving in Portland, so he's inundated, and he couldn't get back to me in time for this meeting. But I do want to go back to, in terms of time, I go back to the original interior justification requirements that I was asked to fill out and submit on behalf of the Port of Brookings Harbor for Susan DeFazio's office. And that's where I read on item number 16, it asks me the question, can the budget obligate all of the requested funding within 12 months of receipt? So there are two reasons why I believe that we are not really talking about a 12-month window. There's first this kind of language which I'm familiar with when generally we talk about obligation as opposed to receiving the funding, that makes me feel that we are not going to be so tight as to not be able to accomplish the project in time. Secondly, I know that DeFazio himself, and I spoke to him, of course, with the port on conference initially, he's had a lot of experience with the challenges of permitting design, implementation, construction, and startup with wastewater treatment plants. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that it doesn't make any sense for the obligation to be something, I mean, the funding needing to be obligated means that you have to have all the money spent from the time in October when this was first put forth and now. It just doesn't make sense to me. But again, as I think, was it Joe or I'm not sure, maybe it was Richard that stated that we're not going to know until we get the contract. We're not going to know for sure. I think that's true. But one thing I do know that I did glean from Kathy Erickson, I should share with you because, you know, of course you know everything they can, is that they have got DeFazio's office has got mixed messages, which I think is a confusion, apparently from a newspaper article, that basically somehow the port doesn't want wastewater, and they're getting that confused with us going through our deliberations to select wastewater treatment types. And those two, one is an argument we must make and we must discuss, and that is what we come up with as far as the best design that's going to be satisfying everybody, including the public as well as the commissioners, but also, and the DEQ, but The other one is whether or not we want to go through with the wastewater treatment system. I think somehow we need to make it clear, make it very clear to DeFazio's office that the port of Brookings Harbor, and as far as I know, it's true, that everybody wants this wastewater treatment plant, whatever that plant turns out to be. So I just hope that the confusion that's kind of generated by a newspaper article and their reaction to it doesn't confuse our fact that we do want to go through with this, and we have a very certain sound that we're giving to the DeFazio's office that we want to proceed. And I think some of this I have to take some blame for, because when I submitted this project to you, I submitted it not knowing exactly what challenges regarding wastewater that we would be encountering. So I put everything in there, and now I've looked at the data, and I know exactly, you know, how much total suspended solids and sludge I can expect, and I know the biological versus the non-biological, all those kinds of details regarding their wastewater I now have, and I'm already realizing that a lot of the stuff that I originally submitted to you is duplicative. Okay, in other words, we're doing something more than once, and in some cases, we're going to achieve undesired results, additional sludge, by not doing some things and doing some others. I didn't give you detail on that, but I don't think that's what you want. What I am saying to you is that I would like to input my recommendation that you consider giving a very certain sound to a deliberation to DeFazio's office that the Port of Brookings Harbor absolutely wants to have wastewater treatment at their facility.
Okay, thanks, Jack. Questions for Jack? Comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for your personal opinion.
Yes.
What we need to do is figure out, Jack, I think the board and consumers want to know what other designs you are working with, or how many more different designs are you working with instead of just one.
Well, yes, that's easy. That's an easy one. Originally I introduced to you, for example, SAS and grit separation, grit removal, and I offered you a multi-stage aerobic treatment, and then finally a clarifier. And all those, and tankage, of course, to store and be able to feed systems uniformly and so on. You know, since I've looked at the data, and I have got one of the commissioners sent a letter referring to a system that's being used at another plant, referring to SAF, using exactly the same equipment and company that I had included among my mind. The SAF is certainly a viable means, but you don't want to do it with just wastewater alone, because you have too much VOD and too much TSS. You're going to end up with a huge amount of sludge, way beyond anything we want. And you're going to be combining your inorganic with your organic. And so you want to be able to reduce the organic, and we don't need to use the sequential, which uses the major amount of space. The major amount of space you saw in the initial presentation was a sequential multi-stage system. That's really not, doesn't look like it's going to be necessary here. We could use instead an SBR or an MBR, some aeration process by which we can eliminate, after we've separated the inorganic material, we can eliminate the biological. Remember, the inorganic material, that is sand, grit, that needs to be separated. And then other materials that are not biologically degradable, that's going to be what we would prefer. That would be the minimal amount of sludge we can have. And the rest we should treat aerobically, okay, by multiple, or MBR or SBR. And those processes are pretty much the standard. If you go to any of the, notwithstanding all my experience, if you go to, documented, everybody accepts wastewater and wastewater calculations, manual, wastewater treatment, publications by Metcalf and Eddie and Hammer and Hammer, we all know that you basically have modern days up to date system where pretty much you limit it down to really only about a dozen different options. And you want to use your wastewater to dictate what combination you want to use. Number one, minimize your cost. That's one of the main things. Number two, minimize your footprint. And number three, make absolutely sure, maybe this should be number one, make absolutely sure you satisfy your regulatory requirements. And so based on that, I'm narrowing it down. What I need to do is move forward now and send a clear message, in my opinion, to DeFazio's office that you are moving forward. And the next thing I need to do is I need to go to the plant itself there, talk about what I found about their wastewater, and I've analyzed all their data, and talk about their processes, and then really narrow down the units that we absolutely need in order to, number one, make sure we satisfy DEQ's requirements. Number two, minimize our sludge. And then, of course, as you guys know, I want to have a minimal amount of operations requirements for operational. I don't want a lot of having to watch this thing over all the time. And once I have that design, you know, then I have to go as quickly as I can and get that permit submitted, permit application submitted to the DEQ to satisfy all their needs. I have been giving I've been given a little bit of a jump start and a help by the fact that the fishing industrial fish processors. Tell me the name again.
Pacific Seafood.
What's the name of it?
Pacific Seafood.
Yeah, thank you.
Wrap it up, Jack.
Thank
Let's
you.
Go.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Pacific Seafood has done a good job in this last year and a half, really collecting data, doing a great job of doing a great mixing zone study, which is a great assistance, and that kind of stuff really gives me a head start. But I really need to narrow down a design and place it before you guys and have some alternatives. I'll give you the reasons why I think that it should be one versus the other. I'm recommending you give me the okay to move ahead and therefore send the signal to DeFazio that there's no deliberation about whether or not we want a wastewater system. We're just going through the process, iterative process of selecting wastewater treatment elements.
All right, Jack, we'll now discuss that. Okay. So you've heard the timeline, and again, it looks to me, based on the timeline I'm looking at, that there's going to be at least two more meetings where we're going to look at design opportunities and more approval on the board for to select the actual design. So at this stage, our task before us is to decide whether or not we want to instruct manager to have our engineer begin the design process. And you heard from him about what he's looking at and kind of the stuff he's considering. So this is step one. This isn't step 11, this isn't step N, this is step one. Now that we have the funding in place and this project is feasible, now we move forward with the design. So that's the point at which we are today.
The engineer, Jeff, who's been on the phone, he also sent us each a letter, and it was really laid out very well. It was very clear in how he wants to move forward, and I think that it's a good plan.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Jack a question.
Okay.
Jack, you still there?
Yes.
Are you aware that Pacific Seafood just got their extension of their National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System General Permit 900J to the above facility, which is here in Brookings. Are you aware of that?
I am. The last conversation I had with the DEQ is that they did not even have a permit at this point, let alone an extension. But I could be misinformed. That's per a DEQ meeting that I had.
Well, they've got a permit. So my question is...
That's good.
It is good. But my question is, you're chasing a lot of equipment down. If they have equipment right now that meets the criteria for doing wastewater discharges and commingled stormwater from seafood processing and recreational fish cleaning, why aren't we following with the equipment they have?
You are you telling me that no action is being required to treat the wastewater at the specific seafood in the Port of Brookings Harbor?
I'm not sure that I can read you directly off of the letter that they received. The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has assigned coverage under the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System General Permit 900J to the above facility. The 900J is for wastewater discharges, commingled stormwater from seafood processors, and recreational sport cleaning stations. Enclosed is a copy of the permit. The conditions of this permit are effective upon coverage.
Well,
as I recall, though,
I have never heard any such thing. This letter is from the Department of Environmental Quality. It's got a recent date.
Jack, just hold on. Specific seafood is here. Let him enlighten us.
So we do have equipment in place. We're screening every bit of water. That permit, what we're doing right now, we cannot meet those parameters.
Pardon me?
So we cannot meet the parameters of that permit with our current equipment.
Okay.
We put some data together. If we have to hit those numbers, so last year we would have been in violation for 4 months.
Okay.
So what we discussed earlier is you have a temporary operating permit from DEQ pending...
Correct.
Us being able to meet the 900Z requirement.
Correct. And the permit we had been operating under prior to this, it was still the 900J. It was just relaxed, if that makes sense. The conditions weren't as stringent. We can't operate on this permit forever.
Right. Well, I mean, the reason we got involved in this in the beginning was because of the requirements of 900J and the fact that if we were going to discharge, we're going to have to treat it. So that's what got us to this point.
Or lose the plant.
Or lose the plant.
And there goes the job.
Well, so, you know, I don't want to relitigate this again, but the discussions we've had in the past leading up to this is that the port was interested in making sure that we did as much as we could to support the commercial fleet. You know, we've made a conscious choice, at least when I started on this board, that we wanted to have a working port here. That meant commercial fishing activities that were of huge benefit to this community in terms of jobs, vessel value of land, fish, all those parts and pieces that go into it. This is a key component of what that means to support the commercial fleet. We're not looking just at the moment here. We've also looked at the future and tried to decide what potential exists out there for other operators who may want to come in here and process other fish besides pink shrimp. And, you know, we've had the ongoing discussions about we don't really know where the commercial fleet's going to go over the next decade, because we don't really know where the fish are going to go, what we may see here. We do know that some species are moving north, so things that we're accustomed to catching right now may not be here, but that doesn't appear to be the case for shrimp. Shrimp looks pretty strong. In addition to that, I mentioned at the last meeting that they're called market squid. The small squid varieties are moving north. That is now one of the major producers in Oregon, so there's a potential from that down the road to allow our fleet to access market squid. So there's a lot of things in the air here, but it comes down to, right now, a discussion about the approval of the design for the wastewater to allow the engineer to begin the process of designing the actual design of the wastewater treatment. So that's where we are. Okay, so.
Can I ask a question? I think it's in the port's best interest. If I ask the question, I speak asked directly of because you've got a representative there, Pacific Seafood. Can I ask him a question?
Okay, go ahead.
Who am I speaking to?
It's Brett Jack.
Brett, hi. Brett, our meeting, was it on the 14th, with they told me point blank that they had no permit. We just discussed why you needed, you know, what we were going to do, and that we were very plausible plans and so on. But is it possible that they have, as a result of that meeting, that they have gone ahead and issued coverage for you?
They issued that, Jack, so we can run the plant, basically. Like I said, we're not going to hit the parameters 100% of that permit. We're going to do our best, but yeah, that's what I know.
Okay, because you're coming into a pretty heavy season. You're right, May and June. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I just wanted to get that because it's so different from what they said to us, both Gary and myself. I had Rick Gates on the phone as well, and myself, just on the 14th. So I'm very happy that they did that. Because they were talking as if they weren't going to. Maybe they were trying to make it, let me know how severe the issue was or something.
Okay.
Thank you.
More
action. I'll make a motion to approve EMC engineers, scientists to proceed with design options to meet regulatory requirements for disposal of crustacean and fish processing only.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Any design options? Are this going to be Jack's? Or is Jack going to reach out to other companies that have built these before?
Well, we're contracting with Jack. So it's Jack's process and Jack's process. So he'll bring, I mean, I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm pretty sure he's already looked at other designs. So he will bring us back the design that he thinks is the most suitable to our circumstance. Okay?
Yep, so the question is, yes, I will bring other professionals under my contract. In fact, that's one of my first acts.
Thank you, Jeff. You made that very clear in your letter. I appreciate that.
Okay, we'll call the question. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay, so there's no confusion here. We are proceeding forward with the wastewater treatment plant with the understanding that, yes, we support this. There should be no question about that in anybody's issue. Okay? That brings us to item N, the RV park septic tank. On the drawing, this is a clarification of the conceptual drawing that was done as part of the FEMA project. Okay. So, is there a question here for our engineer? So, Jack, I'll ask the question. Is it clear to you that the RV park that's going to be built on the kite field as part of the FEMA project will not use a septic system. It will hook directly into the harbor sanitation sewer line.
Yes, as I understand that, at this point, okay, I have not spoken directly with Harbor Sanitary, but as I understand it, really even have the option of utilizing septic tanks based on agreement that Harbor Sanitary has, that their jurisdiction, if you will. But at the time when we put the design in, we needed that contingency, and I know it's moot, but I don't want to delete it in case something changes and, you know, the work's already been done. Leave it there.
Danielle has something.
Harbor Sanitary is on the line.
Okay. So we have here the recommended motion is to approve the sewer system design and the RV park expansion to be connected to the Harbor Sanitary District. So that would be the intent of the board, Jack, if we take action on this item.
Well, I would say that if you did approve it, you would probably depend on me to not implement that approval if it wasn't either permitted or if it wasn't otherwise a good decision. And then I would actually, before that we even did that, I would come back to you with feedback that something has changed. But as it is now, I don't see that septic tank is going to be used. It would be my recommendation to go ahead and approve it, but based on need. In other words, if it's somehow required, I don't know how you would put it, but I would say you should probably allow it, but know that you're probably not going to do it.
Well, the bottom line, Jack, is, you know, whenever we set out to do something here and give you direction, I think it's always subject to news that we haven't heard before. You know, if somebody comes up and says, hey, there's a reason this can't happen, then that's certainly part of the process. But to make clear what our action here is that we're asking whether or not to approve this design with the intent of having it discharged into the sewer system. That's where we are right now, pending whatever else may happen.
Richard, read that one sentence right there.
Yes, I would go ahead and recommend that you approve it.
Harbor Sanitary is on the line. Daniel,
so I guess we can ask if Harbor Sanitary wants to make a comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to comment.
Gary and I did go to a meeting with Harbor Sanitary. We sat down with Kelly, putting in a septic tank that's within the, I think it's 300 feet of their system. You have to hook directly into their system. And right now, as far as what Gary and I are discussing, that the septic tank was on there. It shouldn't be on there. And the plan moving forward is to tie it to the sewer system. And that's there, using the existing line that runs from the kite field.
And once again, this is not subject to the timeline for the treatment plant. This is subject to the timeline for the FEMA project going forward. So before we do anything else, we're going to get an opportunity to review again the actual design of the, I mean, what we've got here is a conceptual design to kind of give some sideboards to what it is we're asking FEMA to pay for, and that was the purpose of that. So we're not settled in on any design finalization at this point, so we're going to get many opportunities to look at that again.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what this motion or action is about, is to say, okay,
right.
You ready for a motion?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve sewer system design in the RV park expansion to be connected to Harbor Sanitary District system.
Second. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. And then we moved up an item to an action item called Commissioner Cavendish. So that's on there because it's my feeling that we have some possible communication issues that we should discuss as a board with the manager. I'm not. I'm just looking at everybody.
You're the best looking one here.
There you go.
That was a good one. So, so I put this as an action item, and my thought is that we have had some training, certainly from SBAO, about board staff relationships, about open meeting law, all those kind of things. I personally think it would be beneficial for us to bring Jordan Dunkel down here and meet with us and talk about the real world stuff that we're experiencing. Real world meaning, so if we are going to talk about things as commissioners offline, what does that mean? I mean, where's the line to cross? Because I'm not real clear myself about when you're talking to other commissioners about things, when do you cross the line into a serial meeting, for example? And I'd like that clarified for me. I'd also like some clarification from George about the fine line between policy and operations, because we're tripping over that occasionally, I think. So I guess my question is, in the form of a motion that somebody might make, would you approve me getting a hold of SDAO and see if we can get George Dunkel to come down here and just give us an opportunity to ask him questions and clarify exactly what our concerns are with some of this stuff?
Like a training class session?
Like a training class, whatever you want to call it, an open session.
Would this be a special meeting?
I talked to him last week, so.
I talked to him too.
I'm not sure if this can be a special meeting or not. It depends on the criteria for a special meeting. So I guess I could ask counsel online, James, so where do we stand on having a special meeting? No, not a special meeting.
An executive
session with the commissioners, with the SBL representative and the port manager to talk about communication issues and roles and responsibilities. Is that something that is normally covered in an executive session?
Yeah. That's a good question. So there aren't any grounds under the executive session statute to kind of have a general conversation about discussions between the commissioners and staff. One context in which the commission could have a discussion in executive session is if you have it, and it's structured as like an evaluation of a employee. If it's part of their evaluation and that employee is signs off on it not being in an open session or open hearing, then it can fit within subsection I of 192.660, and that could be an executive session. You know, general training sessions generally are not grounds for an executive session. even though, you know, if it were training that was not necessarily getting into specific matters or specific projects that the port is dealing with, that may fit, but based on my understanding of how the commission is interested in engaging SBAO, I would say that the conversation will likely involve specific items that you're working on, and so that's going to require an open session or sitting within one of the grounds.
Okay. All right, so it sounds like if we're going to do this, then we will schedule a special meeting, and if SBAO is in agreement and wants to come, will come down and work with us, and we can do that, if that's the desire.
Wouldn't that be more considered more of a training session? Training?
Well, he said, if I understood him correctly, is if we didn't talk specifics, it could be classified as a training session, and it wouldn't have to be public. And I think we would get more accomplished if not being public.
That's right. So if I may just add some more context to that. So a training session, oftentimes these are categorized as like retreats by the governing body. So if there were, if you had generic discussions about communication skills and working together as a board and dynamics between, you know, communication dynamics between the board and staff, I think those items are kind of more in the retreat category and don't necessarily need to be an open meeting. But it's a very fine line, because the minute it crosses over into any actual matter, specific items that could constitute deliberations under the public records law, then you're triggering those meetings required, those open meetings required. So it would be my recommendation that the commission, in having that engagement with SBAO, do it in the form of a special meeting instead of an executive session.
Okay. All right.
So, fine with me.
Well, we need a motion. I have no idea what to phrase or how to phrase it. Are we going to make a motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. I make a motion that the board direct the president to contact SBAO, seeking the services of Jordan Dunkel or somebody in that field to come down here and have a special meeting workshop with us to talk about the role the roles of commissioners, the roles of the port manager, to clarify those, make sure everybody's clear on that, to talk about communications between board members and between board members and the port manager, and to clarify that and answer questions that we might have about open meeting laws and that sort of thing.
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
I would second that.
Okay. Did you get that, Danielle, pretty much? Okay. All right. So we have a motion and a second to have you get a hold of SBA.
Real fast. So when you guys are discussing this, is this going to be specific to our situation, or is this going to lay under the umbrella of just general training? Because there's a difference, because everybody sat through the general training about how you're supposed to communicate, the, you know, the roles. Everybody sat through that. But if we're asking George Dunkel to come down, I just make sure you make it clear that if we're asking for direct questions about our operations or how we might be operating, just make sure that you invite him. It's separate from just the general training. If we have specific questions we'd like to
know. Where I think we are, Travis, well, we have a motion and a second on the table, so why don't we deal with that first?
Okay. Sorry.
So, go ahead, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. So where I think we are is, you know, we're down, we've had the training, we understand that. I think we've run up against some circumstances here, at least I have, where I'm questioning exactly how much latitude we have in talking among ourselves about some of these issues and where you enter into that crossover from, you know, just having a discussion about something to where you're talking about decisional kind of process. And so it's a real world test is what I'm really looking at, that we need to kind of bounce off of him and say, okay, so how do we do this? And my intent with this would be to make sure that we maintain very clear and firm relationships with the port manager and the port commission. I think it's vital that we move forward in a manner in which it enhances our ability to do business and enhances our opportunity for our manager to do business for us, so that there's no question about what's going on and how people feel about things. I think it's time we have that discussion. So that's the background. Okay. That brings us to the informational item, starting with the charter and guide boat sign concept. So it appears that Gary has talked to the Oregon Coast Visitors Association about this idea of having a kind of a uniform sign. And we've got a couple of examples in here of what those might look like. And we also have some indication from them that they would be willing to help pay for that. So that looks to me like kind of a win-win. But I guess the question is, and we're not going to make a decision here, but we can put this on a future agenda for action. And the action would be for us to describe and accept a standard that we're going to look for signage here. Talk about what it would contain. Talk about how we would, you know, who would put stuff on the signs, and what sort of businesses we would look at. And then other concepts too. Like I mentioned, the directory and some other things. Okay, but you've seen this, and it encourages me that we're going to get to the heart of the issue here, which is, you know, signage. It encourages me that we're going to have an opportunity to feature our charter fishing fleet here for the public. I mean, there's lots of folks that come here, and the more they know about what's available and what opportunities there are, I think that's good for the port and it's good for the businesses as well. So, okay.
I have one question for Travis. Kyle, if I understood him correctly, says this would be a violation of his agreement with the port. Is that
I don't believe it. It clearly states that we cannot rent said retail space where his building was or in this retail business. That's how I understand it. That's one of the things that we will double check and go over, but Gary and I are both confident that putting the signage either out by the road, by the launch ramp, by one of our ramps, RV park, anywhere except on this building or in this retail complex, we would not be in any violation of the lease.
Well, I would suggest we put it on the agenda, but in the meantime, we have port staff getting the legal opinion from our attorney.
Mm-hmm.
As to whether that's in conflict.
I would expect when this comes that it will come with the full package, like it always does, all the background support material.
I can read you guys what that clause is. Clause number 6, the port agrees to immediately demolish the buildings upon Tidewind's occupation of the new space and not rent said retail real property locations or within that retail facility that Tidewind is occupying to any business that is in competition or could be deemed in competition with Tidewind businesses. This shall be considered a material term of this agreement.
I read that when we got our support package, and that didn't read signed to me.
That's the section that we have, and that's...
It read that we couldn't take this room and make a charter boat operation out of it.
Exactly.
So, but I didn't read signed to that. And I think it would be a pretty big stretch to say that not only could you not rent space, but you couldn't have anybody else out of it.
Right, and that, well, that's what it says, and that's why I feel like we're more than in our rights to provide signage in other places. My only recommendation is not in this retail complex.
But I think we need to make sure that's
We'll make sure that's legal.
I'm pretty confident in everything else that we've seen here, that once the court brings us a package, it'll be researched, and we'll have that question answered, but we'll just make sure.
That is a major question that's looming that will be.
Well, it's been brought up at our meeting, and we just need to make sure it's clear that, you know, that what's right.
Okay, so under information items, we have the RV park change order, and you've seen the documentation here. Basically, what it says is that due to circumstances beyond anybody's control, we didn't start the RV park improvement that we were going to start. We've also now are facing the conundrum of having to dig a trench to put in new electrical services that wasn't anticipated at the beginning. So the end result of this is there's going to be additional costs incurred, and there's going to have to be change orders written in the original contract. Also allowing the, you know, getting rid of the penalty for not completing the contract by a certain date. So that's all part of it. So this is just prepping us for the delivery of a change order that's going to say all that to us that we're going to have to approve. Kind of a background as to where we are. And so I can say about that, except other than it's a sign of the time, I guess, that would just take, no matter what it is you plan to do, it's going to cost you more money and take you longer.
Does anybody have any questions so far with the change orders? Those I feel very confident answering.
So the next item is just informing us that the Corps of Engineers have gotten funding for dredge, as they normally do, so they're going to be here in June with the Kena and dredge. You know, which, of course, is a hooray for everybody that we're going to get our port taken care of again. And I saw them here the other day doing a survey, so it looks like they're getting the bathymetric stuff put together, whatever it is they use.
Did actually get that, I guess, on the information side. It's something I'm going to try and get put on our website that the Coast Guard is going to try and do a broadcast of. But at the north, at our south jetty, at the north end of it, there is a pretty significant shallow spot there that's been identified on the survey that they'll be trying to get.
Outside of the harbor?
Outside of the harbor. Outside. That's in the channel on the south jetty, just north of it, on the south end of it, if there is a pretty significant shallow spot there. But I think I'm going to put that survey on our website. So to get it out there as much as we can, especially with shrimp season coming. There's another thing I wanted to show you and any of the other receiving docks with shrimp season coming on and getting a fair amount of large boats coming in here because they're the ones that are hitting bottom.
Wow.
So it all boils down to the same thing we're fighting with dredging in here. They're fighting it in the river with the fire and the amount of material that keeps migrating down the river.
It's just way worse this year. We haven't had any high water. We never have to go around for things to sit
right
there.
It is accumulating. And, you know, in the dredging thing, they're allocating $1,048,000 for Brookings to get dredged. So it's always good for us when they're doing that.
Well, and we can thank folks from the congressional level for taking care of us. I know Congressman DeFabio was pretty involved in that. I tried to make it a point to help or report. I see that Coos Bay just got a big chunk of money to repair one of their jetties, several million dollars for that. So, all infrastructure stuff. I don't know what they're going to do in Gold Beach. I've heard various reports about how much they're going to do.
They're $5 billion, and they're going to bring the clamshell in, and they're going to take that whole sandbar out.
Such a waste of money.
Wow.
This kid is 6 months ago. I've been here for 50 years and it comes right back.
Yep.
Okay, and finally on our information items, we have the fish cleaning station building repairs.
So there was, here's a little list of things that they are having to do over there, but they got in there and found out there's all kinds of issues, there's a lot of rock. And they had to replace almost one whole wall, they've got to remove the electrical panel because it's shot. But anyway, the point is that we're getting that job done and we're taking care of a lot of issues at the same time. So by the time that is finished, it's going to be safe, serviceable, and will meet its intended purpose. And when I was coming down here, I stopped over there and looked and talked to those guys a little bit about all the stuff they had to do, which included Jack hammered out a pretty big chunk of concrete that was in there that had that monstrous big grinder on it. What happened to the grinder?
Scrap steel.
Is it in the boatyard?
Everything about it is rusted, gone, broken. And that, you know, part of the change is removed. It was a three-phase meat grinder, which we paid just a monthly bill to Coos Curry to have three phases is significantly higher than just a single phase power to it. So removing that, it's also going to save us some money on the electrical, just not having three phases.
And if there's anything in the world I'd like to sell by the pound, it would be that grinder.
Yes.
Did you have any idea how much weight when you picked it up?
It had to have been 1,200 pounds, 1,500 pounds. It's heavy. It's a lot of meat right now.
Okay, so that completes the agenda. Other than commissioner comments, anybody have comments?
I have one. Danielle, the original wastewater treatment plant that Jack recommended is still on the website, and it seems it's not on the website now.
Yeah, well, it wasn't when I checked yesterday.
Okay.
We took it off.
I had the wrong information.
I took it off.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments?
RV park puddle.
They're coming Friday.
All right.
Friday will bring in the potholes along the road that are developing. I'm going to get some 2-inch rock on Friday and go through and fill it and regrade it the best we can. Kind of prolonging it until the project takes off. If the rain, it's had a significant impact to it. But on Friday, it's supposed to clear up a little bit. This heavy rain is supposed to be over, so that on Friday, it's supposed to be over.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed the asphalt starting to break away near those potholes.
Yep.
Great. Good. I hope you get good with it.
Well, my only comment I have is three fuel catch from Sam.
What was that, Richard?
I said, please go catch from Sam. And it was a pretty heavy lift this year to get all that arranged, and I just hope like heck to go out there and paddle and pull the commercials on the wreck. I don't know what to anticipate next year, but so I'm not going to borrow that trouble, but there's trouble coming, I'm afraid.
Mm.
All right. No other comments. With that, we will adjourn. The next regular meeting will be Wednesday, May 18th, 2022 at 2 o'clock in this room. In the interim, I will get a hold of SBAO and see if we can't get that set up as quickly as we can. All right. With that, we will adjourn. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Other than it's wrong, I'm going to be
here.